Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, May the 5th. It's the first Monday of the month. And more often than not, that means that Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Phil Corvo, is here to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. And we are also privileged to have with us not only Phil, but one of Phil's bosses, the director of the executive director of the Educational Communications Board. We will be welcoming your questions and your feedback for both of them at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Let me welcome first Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Joy.
Good to have you here, and good to celebrate today. We had a very successful pledge drive, mini pledge drive, that ended on Saturday.
Absolutely. We had shortened the drive from 5 days to three because of strong membership support earlier in the year, and I got to tell you that it didn't look like we were going to make the goal during the beginning of the drive. The goal was $125,000 and 1,200 calls, 1,200 mm-hmm. members. And we made both goals. We surpassed the dollar goal and just barely hit the member goal. But that was very encouraging. It was very strong support. And, you know, the other thing about that is Gene and I were talking just before the show that we recently received our, every quarter we receive some numbers from Arbitron, which measures radio audiences for commercial and non-commercial stations. And the fall numbers were very high, the highest in recent history. It showed that about 425,000 different individuals mm-hmm. listened to Wisconsin Public Radio each week, which is just terrific. It's really good, and I think that the programming is strong. The changes that we made in the spring of 06 have all proven to be successful in terms of, or popular in terms of, the audience. And so the audience is up, and as a result, I think the membership is up. So that's
it was
a good weekend.
Yeah, and just to put some numbers on it, just over 1,200 members pledged to Wisconsin Public Radio, 342 or so brand new members to the Wisconsin Public Radio Association, and a total of $149,000, give or take, to help support the programming that you depend on. Thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let me welcome in right now the director, executive director of the Educational Communications Board, Gene Purcell, who is also with us in the studio. Good morning, Gene.
And good morning, Joy. Good morning, Phil.
Very happy to have you here, too. You have been the deputy director or the interim director of the Educational Communications Board for the past couple of years, but just mm-hmm. in this past month, they made it official. You were hired on as the director, the executive director.
Yep, they made it official. They announced the job search beginning in January, and I applied, and there were a lot of good candidates, and there were a couple in particular. And out of that, they wound up choosing me. So I'm just honored to be part of that. And also, it's just sort of a thrill to still be part of Wisconsin Public Radio and be part of the whole Wisconsin Public Broadcasting family. I spent, you know, a good chunk of my career at Wisconsin Public Radio. I still fill in on the air here occasionally. You hear me do pledge and things. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to be part of that, and good to be part of the ECB.
Yeah, we will talk a little bit mm-hmm. more about the partnership between mm-hmm. Wisconsin Public Radio and the ECB. I wanted to welcome you in because, Gene, you were here asking for listener support with me on Friday morning.
Yeah.
And you still are going to have you're going to still fill in for me and Ben Marins when
yeah.
you can. So people will hear you on these airwaves quite a bit still.
Well, I think it's a first of all, I just love doing radio. I love mm-hmm. being part of public radio and public broadcasting, and I like being on the air. It's just that I don't have a full-time job doing it. So to have a full-time job that allows me to pay the bills mm-hmm. and then have the opportunity to do this once in a while it allows me to keep my hand in and kind of feel like a broadcaster once in a while.
Well, I'm congratulations on the permanent role, and thanks for being here today. You know, we have the good news to report, as I mentioned, of the successful spring membership drive, Phil, but also very sad news to share with listeners, a tragedy for Wisconsin Public Radio last month in the passing of Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Manager Bill Estes.
Yes, that's right, Joy. It was a great loss for Wisconsin Public Radio. Bill passed away on April 12th unexpectedly, and he has been part of Wisconsin Public Radio and television and the Educational Communications Board for 35 years, and he was the first regional manager in the system of regional bureaus that we have around the state. I think in 1989, he formed the Milwaukee Bureau along with Jack Mitchell. And so he was a real pioneer in the development of Wisconsin Public Radio. He was chair of our marketing team. In 2002, he was awarded the UW Extension Award for Excellence for connecting Wisconsin's people with the vital information and cultural resources of their local Wisconsin Public Radio stations. And it's a tremendous loss, and we're still mourning his loss. And I just hope that we can find someone to replace him that will be of his stature and talents, because he really dedicated his whole life to Wisconsin public broadcasting.
He will be missed.
Yeah, and I worked with Bill for 10 years. I was a regional manager for Wisconsin Public Radio before I started working at the ECB. And he was a great colleague and a great friend. And as Phil says, his loss is felt here, particularly so, I think, in the Milwaukee Bureau. And it is just, it's been a very difficult month or so for everybody. And, you know, condolences to Bill's family and everybody who knew him. And it's just been a hard couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, yes, he will be missed. And in the meantime, Phil, we have the Associate Director of Wisconsin Public Radio, Mike Crane, taking over some of Bill's duties.
Right, and, right.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about, we don't talk a lot about governance and those types of bureaucratic issues on this program very often, but a lot of people, I'm sure, have heard this announcement from time to time on Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's take a listen.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
Lots of partners in Wisconsin Public Radio, and that very first one was Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Educational Communications Board, which Gene Purcell is the executive director of. Gene, what in the heck is the Educational Communications Board?
Well, if you go back in time, the ECB grew out of the old State Radio Council that was formed by the legislature back, I think, in about 1945. And if you want some really great information on this, by the way, I highly recommend Randall Davidson's book, 9XM Talking, because he's got a chapter devoted to this. But the State Radio Council was originally formed to expand the WHA signal throughout the state of Wisconsin. And so the State Radio Council was charged with building and operating an FM radio network. And remember, this was in 1945. It was pretty groundbreaking stuff. It was almost like the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody had FM receivers. It was all brand new. It was new technology.
Almost like HD radio.
Almost like HD radio today. It was very similar. There's a lot of parallels. And so over the years, the State Radio Council expanded somewhat and wound up building also the state television network outside of Madison. And became the Educational Communications Board in 1971. And so we remain as a partner in Wisconsin Public Television and Wisconsin Public Radio. And we also have, there's that educational part of our name that kind of throws people off. Mm-hmm. And we have an educational function in that we provide educational video production, and we also purchase educational programming that's primarily seen on Wisconsin Public Television, for example. The ECB purchases all that, acquires it, takes care of the rights issues, that sort of thing. And we also produce educational programming specific to Wisconsin standards. Wisconsin, in some cases, has very specific educational standards where you can't just go buy a video or buy some programming somewhere that will work. And so we produce programming in that case. So we serve two functions right now primarily. We take care, we hold the licenses to 17 of the Wisconsin public radio stations. We also take care of most of the delivery functions, and that's talking about transmitters, towers, the interconnect that runs throughout the state, the public service function. And then we also take care of that educational programming function.
Lots of stuff. And
yeah.
So what we have here, Phil, is that Gene Purcell at the ECB is one of your bosses or one of the parents of Wisconsin Public Radio. And then the University of Wisconsin Extension is the other.
Right. It's a true partnership. Mm-hmm. And you know, part of the reason this partnership was formed was for efficiencies and the economies of scale. The university owned some licenses. The ECB owned some licenses. So we thought, well, let's get together and coordinate these activities. And so in order to create that true partnership between the university and the ECB, the directors of radio and television are actually split appointments, and I actually get two different paychecks, one from the ECB and one from the UW, and that so it's more than just symbolic. It's a real partnership because the directors of radio and TV do report to both of our owners.
Yeah. And help us understand a little bit more, though, why don't we just have one owner? Why isn't it just the University of Wisconsin Extension? Why do we have this other owner with the ECB?
Well, that's, I think, as Gene was alluding to earlier, that's the way it evolved over history. Because, and I think if Jack Mitchell were here, he could be more verbose on this. But the reason it was decided in the 40s that it was most appropriate for the state to build out these stations and both on the radio and the television side. So the licenses for many of the bigger stations around the state were vested in the Educational Communications Board, which is a state agency.
Yeah. Anything to add, Gene?
I think Phil's got it.
He's got it. All right. Well, we will welcome questions for both Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and Gene Purcell, the executive director of the Educational Communications Board, at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up this afternoon between 1 and 3, it's Talk of the Nation. After 1, the 60th anniversary of the State of Israel. And after 2, the President of France and his year of campaigning. That's Talk of the Nation between 1 and 3 this afternoon. That gives me a good opportunity to remind listeners that we have a very special event coming up. NPR's Ira Flatow, the host of Talk of the Nation Science Friday, is coming to Wisconsin, coming to Milwaukee in particular. Lots of details of Ira Flatow's visit on our website, WPR.org. Click on Ira's picture and you can read all about the live broadcast of Talk of the Nation Science Friday from the Milwaukee Public Museum, which is in downtown Milwaukee. You can watch the live broadcast of Talk of the Nation Science Friday. There'll be a reception. Some Wisconsin Public Radio hosts will be there. There'll also be a special dinner with Ira and other Wisconsin Public Radio hosts. I will be there. So will Ben Marins and Kathleen Dunn. It should be a lot of fun. And you can get more information and find out how to get tickets to this by going to our website, or you can call 414-227-2047. That's 414-227-2047 for this special lineup of events on Friday, May the 16th in Milwaukee. Phil, are you going to be at the special event here?
I plan to be there as well.
Good. It'll be fun. Hey, how about you, Gene?
I think I plan to be there, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
How's that?
All right. And we've got full lines, so let's take some calls. Carl in Peshtigo joins us first. Hi, Carl. You're on the air.
I want to thank you, Joy, for the wonderful programming you got in Wisconsin. I spent the entire winter in Salt Lake Valley listening to one plant. That would be 90.1. They've got 88.1, and they do not have the programming such as Wisconsin Public Radio have. The only thing that's really regardful of the local programming there is Radio West, but they've carried the Diane Rehm Show, which is the most extraordinary gal that's equal to you fine gals on Wisconsin Public Radio, and you mentioned Talk of the Nation. I don't know what I would do without the sincerity of public radio throughout the nation, and I'm so happy to be back into Wisconsin, to listening to Wisconsin Public Radio since 1994 when I first discovered it.
Well, Carl, thank you so much, Carl, and welcome back to Wisconsin, and thanks for the kind words. I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you have something else?
Like I said, I've been listening to it since 1994. I listen to public radio 24/7 in my household.
Mm-hmm. Well, Phil.
Well, bless your heart, Carl, and thank you. Thank you for those kind words. And I just wanted to say that, somewhat immodestly, that Wisconsin Public Radio is one of the best public radio organizations in the country. And the reason for that is because of strong support from people like Carl and people like those who called during our last pledge drive, because mm-hmm. that's what keeps us strong. Wisconsin Public Radio produces more programming about and by and for the people of the state than almost any other public radio entity. And the reason we can do that, there are a couple of reasons. One is because of very strong listener support. Wisconsin has a history of strong support of public broadcasting. And that's A. And B, this partnership with the university and the ECB allows us to have stations around the state that can carry the programming so that we have these economies of scale. So, I sound like I'm in a pledge drive now, but we sometimes take it for granted here in Wisconsin that we really do have something special.
Yeah, and Gene, it should be noted that your job at the Educational Communications Board is to a parent, Wisconsin Public Radio, to some extent, but you're not in charge of our program schedule or telling Phil what programs to put where on the schedule, that sort of thing.
No, not at all. And you know, that's something that you get a lot when you're in my position is, why don't you tell Phil to put on this program or that program? And the answer is that the day-to-day programming of Wisconsin Public Radio is done by the staff here. And I'm a firm believer, having been on the programming side, that programming is best done by programmers, and it should be done that way. And the only time I would ever get involved in anything is if I felt that the licenses were in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. And that is the only time I would take any interest in programming. That didn't come out right, because I'm interested in all programming. Mm-hmm. But it's the only time I would probably make my feelings known. And I'm in a fortunate position, because people do ask me for feedback. But I don't think my voice carries any more weight than anybody else's. And it is a great thing. And the programming here, I'm very comfortable with the programming staff, and I think we're in great shape.
Thanks very much, Carl, again, for the call. Next, let's go to I want to go to Annalisa in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm also a devoted listener to public radio, and I'm glad that Phil Corbeau from the ECB is there, because up here in this area, often when there are windstorms or thunderstorms, that one or the other of the stations will go out for you know, certain amount of time. And it's been happening here for years, but I thought it would get better when they built the new tower, but apparently we still have that problem. And I wonder if you are aware of it or if there's something that can be done about it, because that doesn't seem to happen to other radio stations.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Annalisa. And it's Jean Purcell from the Educational Communications Board who is here that might be able to address that. Do we have an issue with stations going off the air during storms more than other stations?
Well, I don't know if we have an issue more than other stations do, but we do have issues with stations being affected by storms, stations being affected by ice, stations being affected by equipment. And Green Bay, I don't think, is any better or worse than any of our other regions. But, you know, when you have somebody like Annalisa, who is a devoted listener and listens mm-hmm. a lot, you notice every little outage. And so in answer to your question, Annalisa, one of the things we do at the ECB with Wisconsin Public Radio is we have a quality control team that we formed about a year ago, a little mm-hmm. over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And we document every single outage, whether it's in Green Bay, whether it's an equipment outage at a studio, whether it's an internet or interlink outage. And every couple of weeks, we sit down with the engineering staffs with both places, with the programming staff, and we go over every single discrepancy. And so we know when the Green Bay station was off the air, we know if there was a problem with the station in Superior or the station in Wausau, and then we try to get to the bottom of it. And I have to tell you, with 29 radio stations and, 29 towers and 1,200 miles of interconnect and six studios, it does get complicated. But we mm-hmm. are, I think, making headway. I think we are seeing an improvement in these, and any outage is not, you know, any outage is bad. And so I feel your pain, Annalisa. But I have to say, I think we are making some substantial progress on this.
I agree with Gene. And also, I know that the ECB has and continues to work on providing emergency generators mm-hmm. To generate power. Now, with some of our stations, we are not on our own towers. We're at the mercy of the tower that we lease space on, and so that can contribute to some outages. But we are working on this problem. I mean, our goal is to be on the air 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Yeah, and that is one of the issues in Green Bay, is that we are right. on a shared tower. We don't own our own tower there. And that means, you know, for example, if somebody else needs work done in their tower, one of the other renters, then we have to lower power or go off the air. And unfortunately, listeners aren't always aware of all those sort of behind-the-scenes things. But we are always striving to improve. As Phil says, our goal is to be on the air all the time.
An email from Brian in Monona. Mr. Corvo, could you please update listeners on the development and availability of personal HD radios, not portable or desktop? And might I expand on that to talk about HD conversion of Wisconsin public radio stations, Phil?
I'll pass that over to Gene, because the ECB is working very hard to convert, I believe, six more stations to HD mm-hmm. radio. I'm not quite sure what he means by personal.
I think he means like a little one you can clip on your belt,
like a Walkman. Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen those yet.
I have not either.
Although I wouldn't be surprised if they're out there. I'm not always as up to the date on these things as I should be. Why don't we find that answer out, and we'll try to report back to you. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, on the other side, on the transmitting front, we are making more progress with the HD conversions. We've got six more stations that are going to be going on the air over the course of the summer, and they are WHHI in Highland, WHLA in La Crosse, WHWC in Eau Claire, WLBL in Auburndale, WHBM, and WHDI up in Door County. Mm-hmm. And we have we got a combination of funding for those, federal funding from CPB and state funding. And the deadline to have them done, if we want to collect the grant money, is September 30th. Mm-hmm. So that's our deadline.
Yeah.
So, and we've ordered the parts. We've ordered the transmitters. They're in the process of being delivered. So over the course of the summer, we'll be beginning the conversion to those. And I'd say by the end of the year, we should be in pretty good shape in being full HD with all of them.
And on the it is an interesting question, and because I'm pretty sure the technology exists to be able to put it into a portable radio. Right now, of course, you can, many of our programs, you can podcast, and then you could download it onto your iPod, I guess, and walk around and listen to it that way. But it would be nice to have a tuner that you could strap to your wrist and listen to us in real time.
If I had to guess, I would guess that some of the radio manufacturers are waiting to see how the technology takes off.
Mm-hmm.
We're having good luck with our HD2 service in Milwaukee particularly, but also in Madison and Green Bay. A lot of commercial radio stations are very active with their HD services and their secondary channels. And so I think that if the market starts showing up where people are actually starting to listen and respond to it, I think he's going to start seeing those devices come onto the market.
Yeah, thanks for the email, Brian. Because I know a lot of people still are confused on exactly what HD radio means, help us out here. Gene, you can start.
Sure.
We don't have to worry about getting new radios or getting boxes for our radios like we hear so many ads for the TV conversion, right?
No, you don't. And HD radio is basically a digital service, and it's different from television in that you don't have to worry about your old radio. Your old radio is going to work just fine, and you're going to be able to hear our voices now just as you are now. And, you know, until your old radio wears out, you're going to be able to pick us up. The wonderful thing about the new digital services that we're going to be providing is you'll be able to hear our voices, and then you'll be able to hear another channel at mm-hmm. the same place. So, for example, if you're listening in La Crosse right now at 90.3, we'll be right there at 90.3 like we always were. One click over on our HD2 service, there will be something else, a whole other radio station in the very same frequency. So it's just a new technology. The old technology will still work. It will still be there. But there'll be a new technology that you buy a new HD receiver for, and you pick up a whole plethora of new radio stations.
Yeah. What kind of new stuff are we going to be putting on these other channels, Phil?
Good question.
Right. One of the greatest needs that have been expressed to us by listeners around the state is for a classical music service, because right now on our NPR News and Classical Network, it's two formats, and mm-hmm. a lot of it is NPR News and news that we produce ourselves. So, and in Milwaukee, we don't have even the NPR News and Classical Network. Mm-hmm. So classical music has been our emphasis, and we do have a 24-hour classical music service on the HD channel in Milwaukee, Madison, and Green Bay as we speak. But as the technology advances, there will be room for additional channels, HD3, HD4, and what we put on those channels is something that we're in discussions about right now.
Mm-hmm. Another project that Wisconsin Public Radio and the ECB are working in conjunction to achieve is trying to get some new stations around the state. We touched on this during a past Monday with Phil, but Gene, you are involved in trying to get these 8 new stations around Wisconsin?
Yeah, both. We applied over the last summer, applied for 8 new stations. The ECB applied for 4, and the university mm-hmm. applied for 4, so we split up the workload there. And this has been, and Phil can talk about this more, but there are a lot of areas in the state. We've been trying to serve the entire state, you know, throughout our entire history. But anyone who has driven around or lives in certain parts of the state knows that there are some places we just don't get to. And so we had an opportunity over the past summer to apply for new FM stations, the first opportunity in about a decade. And a lot of experts think probably the last opportunity, because you can think of radio stations as like real estate. There's only mm-hmm. so many places to go around, and it's just about filled up. So we applied for 8 in Ashland, Rhinelander, up in Niagara, Port Washington, Rice Lake, Adams, Park Falls, and in Webster. And we'll see how those turn out. We know we are going to have good luck with at least a couple of them. But I doubt that we'll get all of them. It's very
right.
competitive.
It's very competitive. We have multiple applicants for all of those stations. The FCC has determined a point system to award these competitive applications, but it's still kind of fuzzy and complicated. But as Gene says, this is probably the last time that people will have a chance to apply for stations. And just to give you an idea how long it takes for something like this, the ECB right now is working on building a station in Adams that was applied for in 1997.
Right. Takes a while.
That will be a WHAA.
Right.
And we
mm-hmm.
hope to have that on the air in 2009-2010.
So for some of these applications, it's going to be a while, even with this point system, mm-hmm. before it all settles out.
Let me remind listeners that you can join in with your questions about Wisconsin Public Radio. For both Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and Gene Purcell, who is the executive director of the Educational Communications Board, one of the parent organizations overseeing Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. Kathleen and her guest will recap all the major news from Washington. After 9, it's all things political, so stay with us for that coming up in our next hour. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and Gene Purcell, the executive director of the Educational Communications Board. It's the first Monday of the month, and that usually means we do focus in on Wisconsin Public Radio, share some news, hear your feedback. We do, Phil and Gene, have a couple of people who have some programming questions, but let's take those. Paul in La Crosse is first. Hi, Paul. You're on the air.
Good morning. I saw in the New York Times that New York Public Radio is coming out with another program similar to Morning Edition that's going to be running basically opposite. John Hockenberry, I believe, will be hosting. Mm-hmm. I think they're doing an hour now. They'll be going to 2 hours. With this, especially with HD radio coming up and things like this, but even with the two networks we have right now, would this show be something that Wisconsin Public Radio would be interested in? And would you be doing surveys to see if we want it, or would you just go ahead and get it? What's the procedure on that?
Yeah, that's a good question, Paul. It's the program he's referring to is called The Takeaway, being produced by a partnership with Public Radio International and WNYC. As these programs develop and become available, that's just a great question. I mean, that's exactly the kinds of things that we can do with the additional channels that HD radio will provide for us. As far as putting it on the main channels that we have now, the problem with adding new programs, of course, is what do you take away? And we had thought about putting it on very early in the morning before Joy's show.
Well, that's news to me.
we've just thought about it. What do you take away? So mm-hmm. it's we face that all the time. There are always new programs coming around, and as I mentioned earlier in the program, the listenership is very good now, and so we must be doing something right. And we would have to look very long and hard before we would take something away and add something different.
And I was just teasing in a way. Leo Duran, my former producer of this program, is now working on that competition. But Phil, I would talk a little bit about focus that you hope Wisconsin Public Radio programs have in terms of content for and by Wisconsin folks.
One of my platforms when mm-hmm. I started this job 3.5 years ago is seems like longer than that, but it is to really focus on programming that we are in a unique position to provide, because as other delivery mechanisms become available with the internet and things like that, content is really what's important, and only we can provide programming about the state capitol, about events that are going on in Wisconsin and Milwaukee and La Crosse and Green Bay. And we have reporters around the state. And I think the more that we can focus on programming that is unique to Wisconsin, by, for, and about the people of Wisconsin, the stronger we'll be. There are many, many radio stations that are pretty much a pass-through. And they you know, get the network programming and pass it through, and that's about it. And I think those stations, as time goes on and technology advances, will struggle because they won't have anything different to offer. And I think the more we are in the position to offer something that's unique to Wisconsin, the stronger we'll be.
Yeah. And Gene, anything to add about that?
Not particularly. Mm-hmm. I think Phil has covered it very well. It's interesting to note, though, that there's just recently we've seen a lot of development of morning programs like that. For a long time, it was, you know, you took Morning Edition or you didn't. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I think was part of the reason that we have the Ideas Network and the structure that we have now is that there was only one show. And so on the one hand, I think it's great to see these new programs like The Takeaway being developed and being put out there because they're trying some different things. They're trying to attract different audiences, and that's all good. The question, though, as Phil has pointed out, is what do you take away? But I do think, you know, with some of the new platforms that we'll have here, whether it's the web or whether it's an additional HD service, we will have some options. And I think, you know, 10 years from now, we might be, you know, a very different service with many more things to offer.
Yeah.
When it comes, Phil, just briefly on the program schedule or program decision-making process, Paul asked, are you going to be surveying listeners as to what programs they want or don't want? How do we go about making those decisions?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to ask people if they want a program that they've never heard before. You really have to. What we do is, after many years of experience and being in radio, we have to use our ears and we have to listen to and audition new programming and see if we feel it's right for the people in Wisconsin. And then, of course, the results are whether or not they listen to it. But it's a before we make program changes, we go through a number of steps. We see how they're doing on other stations that are comparable to Wisconsin Public Radio. We talk to the Wisconsin Public Radio Association, which is our advisory board statewide. You know, we get listener comments that every letter and every phone call is logged and transcribed here, and so we get a sense of what listeners are interested that way. So there are multiple ways that we look at what the program needs might be.
Thanks, Paul, for the call. Steve in Rice Lake is with us now. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. If you're open for reader suggestions or listener suggestions, I'm still waiting for a Saturday morning program that's of, by, and for high school and middle school students.
Yeah, why would you want that, Steve?
Because the future of the state, because their issues would be of concern to all, because that would give us a drastic and wonderful change from the highly articulate, and highly modulated, and highly educated voices that we always hear and enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. It would give a change of tempo, but it would be given immediacy to the students, and it would draw in a younger listenership as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, first, Phil, programming by, for, and about high school students?
Well, it's an intriguing idea. There are a couple of things. One is I think that I don't know if the issues that are facing the high school students in Rice Lake would be transferable to the entire state. They might be. Some might be. I am sensitive to try to bring in younger audiences, and that's certainly one of our goals. But I have to tell you, it's an uphill battle because high school students just tend not to listen to public radio, and and it's hard to force them to.
Well, I mean, come up with some sort of program.
I mean, it really just is. You know, I sometimes say we just have to wait for them to grow up and become interested in what's on public radio. We cannot be all things to all people. It's just not possible, because when we try to do that, we become nothing to nobody. And so we have to focus on something, and that's what we do now. We have had some good tried some experiments. Mm-hmm. We recently had a program that was produced by high school students called The War Project, and that was a co-production with the Educational Communications Board, and it was an excellent documentary.
Certainly they had adults at Wisconsin Public Radio also assisting in that production as
they,
well.
They did, but the students really did produce it.
Yeah, I mean, the students really did produce it. They had some guidance in terms of the technology and editing and so forth, but it really was their production. But I also hear what he is saying. And the interesting thing is, last summer when we were doing the research for these non-commercial license applications, we found, as part of our research, that Wisconsin Public Radio is being used in a lot of schools throughout the state already. You know, a lot of people use it as part of their classical music education. A lot of people use programs like this as part of their civics and sort of current events education. I think we were, I was surprised actually at the amount of educators who let us know, and these are you know, K through 12 educators who are using Wisconsin Public Radio every single day. So back to Paul's point, some of our programming sort of inadvertently, because of the instructors involved, is being used for high school students right now. And we were surprised, pleasantly so, by that.
Thank you very much, Steve, for the call. Sally in Middleton. Hi, Sally. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much. I have every day listened to public radio for 46 years. And, in fact, I worked down on the seventh floor for a year at Vilas Hall. I love it. I don't know what I do. I'm sure I have a college degree, at least one. Just from what I've learned over the radio. My question is, what happened to Washington Week in Review?
Well, I'm sorry, Washington Week in Review?
I'm sorry, Washington Press Club.
Oh, the National
Press Club. Yeah, you used to have that.
Oh, the National Press Club?
Yes.
Yeah. A long time ago, it was part of University of the Air lectures and other material that ran around the noon hour, but now University of the Air is in a different time slot and a different format.
But the Washington Press Club, you used to have it in its entirety.
Well, I remember the National Press Club as being a part of the University of the Air.
But, I don't think so. It was. I don't know if it was live. I assumed it was.
But in any case, it's not. It's
not available.
Where would you want to put it, Sally? That's part of it. Is that it? You know,
well,
it's
we listened for the whole hour. It was just as I remember it, as it happened in Washington. The press club could ask questions of the current. I think it was every week.
Yeah, we know what the press club is. Yeah, we know what the press club is. But it was a matter of anyway, Phil. That's what I remember. The National Press Club was aired sometimes around the noon hour as a part of University of the Air. And Sally wants it back, apparently.
Yeah. Well, the National Press Club has been, I don't know if it still is, packaged as an hour program. And you know, it's a good program.
It's a once-a-week program, isn't it, though?
No, it's a whenever the guest shows up
program. Yeah, whenever there's
that
a
guest.
That was
one of the challenges of National Press Club, as I recall. There used to be City Club Forum, and there used to be all sorts of programs like that that were essentially sort of live press clubs. And one of the challenges of National Press Club was they don't have programs every day. Some weeks they would have a guest, some weeks they would have three guests. And so you picked them up as they were scheduled. And that was one of the challenges of that program. The other challenge of that one, as I recall, was that it didn't last an hour. It lasted 45 minutes, or it lasted 52 minutes, and it was also sort of inconsistent. It was still very interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to say that even after it went off the air, I still went online and went back and listened to it. But I'll let Phil worry about whether it's back on the air here.
Yeah, Sally, I'll do some research on that and see what's available now. I know that it's at least used to be carried by quite a few stations. Mm-hmm. So we'll take a look at that.
Yeah, thanks, Sally, for the call. Hey, Sally, are you still there?
Yes.
What did you do working for Wisconsin Public Radio?
Claire Kinsler was the manager, and I was on the board, and the WHA, the Hansen, Rolf Hansen called. He was going to be on the board. And then from that, I got the job. I was first secretary for the Radio Association, the WHA Radio Association.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, I think we were here at the same time, Sally. I think I was a student at the time. I do remember when Claire Kinsler became the general manager.
Yes.
For a relatively brief period.
Yes.
Of time, and because she was ahead of the school of the year before that. So our paths probably have crossed.
Oh, wonderful. I wouldn't give anything for the I've been in other states, and it doesn't hold a candle to the Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you so much
for the call. You know, we're running a little bit short on time. Let me share an email from Daryl in Bloomington, who wants to know what principles determine the criteria for program production. That's a little bit, I'm not exactly sure what he means, but maybe what do we use when it comes to guidelines or criteria for programming in general, Phil?
We have, and... There's not enough time right now to go into great detail, but we have a checklist of things that we look at when we're evaluating programming, both the programming that currently is on the air and programming that we're considering picking up or producing. And some of it involves quality. Some of it involves whether or not it fits the news and public affairs and editorial guidelines of what we have at Wisconsin Public Radio. So it's a fairly detailed list of criteria that we look at when we evaluate any program, either existing or a potential for acquiring or producing here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, I think he was concerned too. What input do your controllers pay attention to? I think that means, do we put programs on that are going to make money or have underwriters want to support?
You know, that's a good question. Obviously, if nobody listens to a program, we're not providing a decent public service, because public service equals programming plus an audience. But I'm happy to say that we do not put programming on because it raises money. It's nice if it does, and it's good if there's an audience. But really, that's a very low on the totem pole for the criteria for which we produce or acquire programming.
Well, I wish we had more time, but we don't. We're at the end of the hour. Gene Purcell, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
We will hear from you anyway in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be taking a few days off, and Gene Purcell will be here. Phil, we'll talk to you next month, I'm sure.
June 3rd, I believe it is.
June 3rd, the first Monday of June. So thanks to both of you for being here. Phil Corvo, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Gene Purcell, the executive director of the Educational Communications Board. You can always get in touch with us. There is a spot on our website for your feedback or questions, wpr.org, or call Audience Services 1-800-747-7444. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.